The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 10 minutes past 10 o'clock, and it is time to start the program. Our guests today are from Thumb Industries. They have a grand opening, open house coming up tomorrow. And we have in the studio Sue Langley, the store manager, and Rhonda Weisenbaugh, the executive director. And we thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you.
Give us a little background. Thumb Industries, what is the focus of Thumb Industries?
Well, Thumb Industries, we've been around in our area since 1970. We are a vocational rehab facility that provides services to individuals with disabilities, primarily work services. And our main focus is getting individuals out, working in the community, and being productive and happy in their lives.
And by disabilities, it can be both physical and mental or emotional.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And what age range do you use, do you have come into Thumb Industries to participate?
Most individuals, you know, they can start as early as age 16, and they can go through the spectrum, you know, into their 70s. So a wide range there.
And do you find that what they do changes over the years? I mean, do the like everybody else, they grow and they can do more and as they work?
Oh, definitely. Every day, I would say, individuals, you know, amaze us with what they can do. And, you know, we have folks that may have started in one area but have grown and have, you know, moved and incorporated more tasks in their jobs. So what are you seeing at the store,
and
Sue?
And a lot of consumers, they see another consumer doing something different and they want to give it a try. And maybe it's just something like, I want to try operating the cash register. Give them the opportunity. They may have never thought that they could do it, but all in the end, you know, it's something that they've always dreamed of. They saw other people do it, and they can move into that job through us, which is wonderful.
And like most of us find out, you made it out to be a little more complicated than maybe it was, because there's a lot of things we can do that we never thought we could.
Correct.
Yes.
How do people come into the program at Thumb Industries? Do they have to be referred? Is there do they seek you out? How does that happen?
Our individuals come through us through referrals, primarily through our contract through here in Behavioral Health. But we also work with Michigan Rehabilitation Services, St. Alette County Community Mental Health. We work with private insurance agencies. We do have individuals, if they have the means, that they privately pay for their services as well. But we get a lot of calls from folks that, you know, need to be linked up to services, so we can assist them with that too. Even if it's someone who maybe doesn't qualify for our services, we can always help them find the resources in the community that they need.
And when people come into the program, there's, I assume, an assessment process. Do you screen to see what type of abilities they may already know they have, and try and figure out what you think they can do?
Yep. Most of our folks, for the first 30 days, we do an assessment. Kind of have them, you know, work with them, find out what their strengths are, maybe what their needs are, as well as what their interests are. And, you know, we focus on that, whether it be, you know, someone who maybe needs some extra work skills, who may stay and work within some of our contracts or work at the store, things that we provide at Thumb Industries. Or we also have an employment services department where individuals can try out jobs in the community, you know, before we help them look for jobs and place them on jobs. So in each of our different services that we provide, there is that period where we work with them assessing what their needs are, their strengths, and find out what their interests are as well.
Does their personality and demeanor come into play a lot in this? I would think with the thrift store, you need people at least on the floor who are outgoing and friendly and not shy and withdrawn and run away if they're asked a question. You know, you're looking for certain type of people that way.
Correct. And a lot of times they figure that out for themselves. You know, this, they feel comfortable in that setting, or they say, I'd rather work in the back room or in a different area. That's kind of something that they've worked out with themselves and with their support staff, helping them decide which is the proper place for for them to be at or work at in whatever area it might be. So, you know, it's kind of like a team effort to find out which area is the best place that's suited for them.
And always knowing there are supervisory people they can fall back on who will come in at a pinch and help
and
them
help out.
Out.
Yeah.
Because anytime you do retail like you do, if only people could see me roll my eyes, you get those customers that, you know, you like, oh my gosh, I know you're having a bad day, why make mine that way too? But, you know, and they're on the front lines then.
Yeah, and you know, one nice thing is we have a lot of fantastic customers that come into the thrift store. They know what our mission is. They see the consumers working at the store, hanging the clothes, operating the cash register, tagging, sorting, whatever it might be. Their understanding of what goes on. I think we maybe have less problems than in another retail setting. Do we have problems? Yes, but the community really supports us and what we do and how we work with our consumers on a daily basis, and they see this, and it's wonderful for the community to be able to interact also with our consumers that work on a daily basis.
Do you find that more and more people are going to a shop with where you have reclaimed, recycled merchandise? It used to be kids when I went to school, you know, you had to have new jeans, you had to have the latest fashions. Now kids want pre-worn clothes that that already look like they've had them for a while. I mean, the whole dynamic seems to have changed.
The trend has, you know, and it's a shopping experience too. Most people want to go in for the challenge, see what they can find, see the bargain they can get. It's not like walking into the mall and being able to pick out that, you know, that special outfit that you're looking for. I think the challenge of the thrift store shopping is the fun part of it, seeing if you can find that goodie or that goodie that somebody had packed away for years and years and you've been wanting one similar to that. And guess what? The only place that you're going to find it is at that thrift store. So I think we see an upswing all across the nation with thrift stores that they're growing, and it's a popular marketing place to be.
It's almost like a treasure hunt. You know, you find something you like, but it's not in your size. Well, maybe there's something better down the line. You keep looking, that type of thing.
It's hard to go in a thrift store and not find something that you need. Even though you don't need it, you know, there's always something out there. And it's because it's ever-changing merchandise.
That's the thing. You're not, you know, per se, you know, tied to these distributors, and you get these types of clothes and brands here. Mm-hmm. Yours is determined by what's donated.
Everything. So it goes for a full range of personalities and clothing styles and types. So we've got it all, you know, from the most in fashions to someone that's still into the old polyester suits. We can probably still find one for you from back in the 70s if you really need one. So
Halloween is coming
yes,
up.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Maybe you can go out as Disco Dan or somebody.
But all those old things, they do come around again. So,
And you also work seasonally. Obviously, this time of year, you'd be doing more of the winter clothes, and the summer clothes get put in the storeroom in the back because people, unless they're traveling south for, you know, the holidays, you know, they're looking more for winter clothes right now. So you have to adapt your inventory to seasons, to holidays, and all the other things.
Correct. When merchandise comes into the back door, the clothing's sorted according to the season, like you said, Craig. Summer, winter, we're putting out the winter right now. The summer, we put in Gaylords and kind of tuck it away. And then when February, March rolls around, we do the big changeover, the switch, and start with the summer merchandise. And the same thing with the Easter decorations, the Valentine's. As that product comes in the door, we box it up, get it in the right location so that it's ready to put out for that season. So right now we're currently putting out Halloween, and I know you don't want to hear this, but we're also putting out the Christmas merchandise because it's getting close, it's getting time.
And I think that's one thing that makes us a little bit unique, mm-hmm. is that we run our store like a department store. That, you know, there are thrift stores that, you know, you can get any season, any holiday, year round. And we've just kind of made it a goal that, you know, we wanted to run our store like a department store. and basically tie it into those seasons and holidays as well. So you have the experience, same experience you'd walk into Walmart or Kmart. You know, you walk into our store, you're going to find those winter fashions and the Christmas and holiday season right now.
And this is also beneficial to the people you serve as far as the customers, you call them, clients?
Consumers.
Consumers. Because if they go out from Thumb Industries to a regular store, this is how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's not a foreign thing. They're not, well, why are you taking this stuff down, you know, that type of thing, because they know. Holiday season comes up, you put that stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. We try and operate as real world as we can at our thrift store and at any of our buildings and do our, and the rest of our operations as real world as we possibly can.
Now, I mentioned this before the show we were talking. Are you looking for holiday things right now, toys for kids and such? Because this is the season, and a lot of the people that come into the store are looking for bargains because they don't have a lot to begin with, and they want to get something nice for the kids. Is this a good time to maybe look through your basement, all the toys that are good that your kids don't use anymore or have outgrown, and see what can be
yes,
for someone
it is,
else
it
under
is a
Christmas
great,
tree?
It is a great time because we like to keep our shelves as full as possible, especially with at this time of year with the toys. You know, we work with a lot of individuals that, you know, money is tight, and if they can find a toy that's in wonderful condition that they can just spruce up a little bit and put back, you know, wrap it and put it underneath the Christmas tree, it works well for them. So, yes, we'll be happy to have the toys and the Christmas decorations and things like that to help the families in need.
Because I would think even with your new facility, which is much larger than you
yes,
had downtown,
yes. Oh,
and larger
yes.
in the back for storing stuff, you would, like most any store, would like to move the merchandise quickly.
Yes.
You're not in the business to store it, you're in the business to sell it,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and if you're getting more seasonal stuff,
get it
out the door,
yes.
it goes faster.
Yeah. Like right now we are, and I know you're not going to want to hear this, but we're putting out the Christmas trees. You know, we can get the trees out, we can put them at a reasonable price. Our customers can purchase them, you know, not having to pay hundreds of dollars for an artificial tree, you know, coming in, getting a nice tree for $6, $8, $10. We want to try and make that available to them now so that they can get that product now instead of waiting and have to pay more for it at another store. So we do what we can. We also work with agencies, DHS, to give vouchers to families so that if they need that Christmas tree or they need something like that for their children, you know, they can get that without cost.
And if you're thinking of upgrading your tree this year, you can recycle the other one. It's still good, and another family can have a nice Christmas
mm-hmm.
2 or 3 years with it
Yes.
Besides the thrift shop, you do have a bunch of other operations you do around.
Correct.
And people might not be aware of it. The thrift shop is there, it's in the public eye, and, you know, right there in the shopping mall. But you do a lot of other things behind the scenes that people may not notice, but also helps your customers.
Yeah, consumers, yeah. And that's kind of part of the reason why we wanted to have an open house, because we've evolved in, you know, the years that we've been in the community, and I think there are a lot of individuals out there that don't know the gamut and the scope of services that we provide to the community. We started our recycling center in 2009, and that's been a huge success.
What do you recycle at this point? I know you do papers, because they pick up our papers
yep.
here from the radio station, and as I understand it, they make pellets for fuel for wood stoves and stuff?
Yep, we do that. We also obviously bale them up, send them over to paper mills, but any paper products that's clean paper product that doesn't have, you know, food on it, such as office waste, maybe your mail, that junk mail that you've gotten, old phone books, magazines. You know, pizza boxes, your pop cases. And we also do plastics. We do plastics number one and number two, which are your water bottles. And then number two plastics are more of your, like, laundry detergent, your bottles like that.
And if you're wondering what they are, usually on the bottom
of the bottom. Correct.
You'll see almost like a triangle type of shape, and it'll have a number in there, and that is the type of plastic it is.
Mm-hmm. And we also take aluminum and tin as well. And if anyone is interested, right now I think we pick up at 180 businesses in Huron County, and we obviously have a lot of individuals that recycle themselves and bring it into our facility as well. But if anyone's ever interested, they can always, you know, contact us at our main facility, and we can give them more information about what we take.
Now, I try to be a good person when I have a box in there that I recycle stuff in. I tear the paper clips or the staples out. The metal, I don't think you want.
You don't even have to do that. You don't even have to take the staples out.
Saved you some time. Just saved you some time.
It won't mess up the machine. It'll sort them out?
No, no.
Okay, I thought maybe, because I remember a while back you were using it for like bedding.
Mm-hmm.
And that, they were worried about an animal getting their foot stuck or something, and they really didn't want it. But that's changed.
Yep. With our shredders, we have industrial shredders that chews right through that stuff. And when we bale it, it obviously doesn't make that big of a difference as well. So you can save yourself some time, and you don't have to do that anymore.
Well, thank you. I mean, it wasn't like it was a half-a-day job or anything,
right.
But it was just, you know, I figured, you know, why... Maybe somebody has to be out there at the other end of the line looking for this stuff to get it out and just get it out of the way now.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have a business and they want pickup, they just call Thumb Industries and see if you can get on your routes?
Yeah, we have routes that go Monday through Friday. And if, you know, they want to get included in that route, just they can give us a call at the main office and we'll look at getting that scheduled for them.
But obviously, if it's sensitive paperwork, you should shred it first before they give it to you, because you will shred it when it goes through the machine, but
mm-hmm.
but it may sit in a bin for a while, and if they're confidential records, you have to make sure they're secure and all of that. But for like us, it's letters and old radio scripts.
Right. And we encourage individuals that, you know, we have that service, that if you want to bring it in, we will shred it for you. We can shred it in front of you if you want to make sure that it's a document that's, you know, confidential and you want it shredded and you want to make sure that it's done.
And people should realize these industrial shredder type of things you use are a lot finer shredding than the ones mm-hmm. you buy at the store, and it just comes through in ribbons, and you can sit there with tape and really put it together if you tried.
Yep, they're confetti cuts, and it would be very difficult to assemble that paper back together.
You'd have to really love jigsaw puzzles.
You would, yes, you would.
Okay, so you have the recycling, and that is still expanding. Are you looking at other things in the future? I know you've got the paper, the plastics, you're doing some of the aluminum. Is there other things in the future you're thinking of? Or?
We could potentially, you know, at this point, you know, the plastic is somewhat new to us yet, so we're still kind of trying to get a handle on that. But it's keeping us happy with what we're doing right now.
Now, the paper products you can utilize in some way, either bale it or you... the plastics, is it just kind of a pass-through, or do you have to shred that and get it into a certain state for the next step down the line?
Nope, that's actually, plastics are baled as well, and, you know, we store them, and then when we get enough bales, we can ship them off to, you know, a vendor that takes them.
And if you're doing that, rinse them out before they give them to you, these types of
things? We would prefer
things?
If individuals could rinse them out.
And obviously, I don't think you're looking for farm chemicals or anything like that. Because there's a whole hazardous waste disposal system we have here through down the road here with the Farm Service Agency and the crop place there that mm-hmm. does this every so often, because these things, you don't want your consumers handling it.
Right, right. If individuals, if they could rinse them out and take the caps off, for whatever reason, water bottles, the water bottle itself and the cap on the water bottle are different grades of plastic, so if they could take the caps off, you know, that helps us out immensely as well.
Terrific. And that program is, again, just call and arrange for pickups.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And if I remember, you used to do like manufacturing right there at the Thumb Industries shop on 142, just east of town.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still going on? You had contracts for things that you would do there? You would... I'm just trying to remember from years past, you assembled boxes, you did type of things like that. I mean...
Yeah, we have 7 local companies mm-hmm. that we do small assembly work for. And typically it's jobs that would take time out, and it didn't quite flow within their process. Maybe you'd have a press operator that would have to stop to assemble some parts before he could continue on with the press. And that's the type of work that we do. Work that, you know, I guess lessens the efficiency of, you know, the companies and their operators. So, you know, companies like Walboro, Amatec, Tower Automotive, Valley Enterprises, just to name a few that we work with in our local community.
And these assembly types of processes don't require the stamping presses and stuff, the dangerous equipment that you don't want your consumers to get hurt, and you want to just move the process along at these factories.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are hand assembly, small assembly, mm-hmm. But we do have machines and equipment. We have some consumers that obviously can perform that task, maybe others because of some safety issues can't. But it's kind of a wide variety of work that we do now with companies, and we're very appreciative of that work that we have.
Are you always looking for more? There's a factory out there that could use a little help with a little assembly of some parts that they manufacture that comes to the end of the line, and then they have to get somebody to do this repetitive work that they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Always looking for new work. You know, we have staff that go out, and I guess through our relationships with the companies that we do work with now, a lot of them call us, and you know, if they see something that may not be in their process, you know, they meet with us to see if it's something that we could possibly do for them to make their company more efficient. But always looking for new customers, new opportunities for the consumers that we work with, as well as in our manufacturing department. So.
And all of these types of things help support Thumb Industries.
Yes, they do.
They helped in the financing of it to keep the heat on and the lights on and the roof over your heads and, and such. You also do janitorial work. I know that for a time, and I don't know if you still do, you used to do it at the county building even, because I remember them talking about either thinking of trying it or doing it, but you have people that handle these types of services for businesses.
Yep, we right now, in Huron and Sanilac counties, we clean 32 buildings, and that's, you know, Monday through Friday. We have night crews that go out. We do have crews that go out during the day. You know, it's just another opportunity, something else for some of our consumers that, you know, maybe they don't fit in the retail end, or, you know, maybe small assembly, they can't sit still, and, you know, it's not something that they would want or would be interested in. So it's just another opportunity for them to, you know, get out in the community. Obviously, working in the buildings, they get to talk and meet and make friends with the employees that work in those buildings as well. So that's one of our services that a lot of, I think there's a lot of businesses out there that don't know that we provide that service as well.
And it's the type of a job where, you know, you get familiar with the place. It isn't like you're going to a different building, you know, every time you go out. You go back to the same place, you know what needs to be done, and you just go in and you start doing it.
Businesses
know where the chemicals are stored and where the vacuum is kept, and they can go in and do their job and move on to the next building.
And it can also be faster for the people doing it because you bring a crew in. You know, and if they only need them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they don't have to have six people on the payroll. You bring a crew in.
Right.
Yes.
And you also do lawn service work. Is that something else that is new, or has this been going on?
Well, that's been
another
going on
best
for
kept
quite
secret.
A long time.
Yep.
Quite a long time.
And unfortunately, you brought that up. Best kept secret. Yeah. That as much information as we try to get out to the public, you know, in newspapers, radio, you know, ads that we do. You know, sometimes we say we're the best kept secret in Huron County, unfortunately. And we have had lawns for a long time. And we do 23 commercial lawns in our area, and we also do spring and fall cleanups as well.
Do you basically just do commercial lawns? I mean, if somebody has a grandparent who can't do it anymore, is that something they could contract to have them come out once a week and at least get the lawn cut? Or if you're, you know, can't do it anymore?
The majority of our lawns are commercial, but we do, if there are individuals that have that, you know, maybe are experiencing that we do have individuals call, and we will definitely help them out if we can.
And when you call, they'll tell you, you know, costs and the other types of things that, and when they're available, and what happens on a rain day, because nobody's cutting lawn in the middle of a rainstorm. At least not normal.
Right.
The way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other services you have that people don't really connect?
Sue, do you want to talk about eBay?
We have an eBay department, which is an extension of our store also, and for the public out there, that you've got something that you want to sell, you don't want to go online yourself and sell it through eBay, you can bring it to our main facility, and we have a team that works with our individuals with disabilities or consumers that put your merchandise on eBay, and we'll sell it for you for a certain fee. So the person in the trying to sell something wins, because they can hopefully get it sold, and then our consumers win also by getting the extra revenue for that merchandise that
so
they sold.
You folks get some of the commission there.
Yep,
and
correct.
The person gets to sell it without the hassle of having to constantly look online, seeing what it's being bid on, and you know, did I take a proper picture of it? Are people really seeing it the way it is? Give it
right.
to somebody who knows
yes.
how to post these things that to get a reaction.
Mm-hmm. And our consumers write the descriptions and get that on eBay, type all that information in. So it's a wonderful learning experience for them to see, you know, what's out there in the world and how to sell things online.
And it helps your consumers learn more about computers and
mm-hmm.
the
correct.
Other things they'll need in a regular work environment.
Yep, and it opens a whole opportunity. We've sold things to Russia, Poland, so these are sales that are worldwide, so it opens a new market and a new opportunity as well.
And do you handle the whole process,
shipping, boxing it up, getting it to the postal services, and
so
seeing it
off. So all that hassle is gone.
All that hassle is gone. We can do it for you.
Terrific. See, these are things people, you know, never think. Oh, go to Thumb Industries for this.
Mm-hmm.
But you offer it. Is there a place they can go? Do you have a website that kind of lists all these things you do? Is there some place they can say, oh, yeah, they do that?
Yeah, we do have a website. It's www.thumbindustries.com. And it basically shows all the services that we provide, has telephone numbers, contact information, where our facilities are located, that they can easily access us, and if they want to find out more information, there's someone there to help.
And we were talking before the show that your consumers, they learn just like every other one of us did when we first got a job, about taxes and withdrawals and stuff, because they get a regular paycheck just like everybody else, and they get their first one and they see, well, why are you taking that away from me, that away from me? Because, but it does get them into the system, and when it comes time for them to retire, they've got some of the benefits starting to kick in as well.
And our whole focus is that when we have individuals referred to us, regardless of their disability and the severity of their disability, you know, our job is to teach them skills that one day, you know, eventually we hope that they all can find competitive work, and we could possibly support them in that work. Some it might take a little bit longer than others, but you know, we view that as, you know, kind of a place where individuals can come and, you know, you learn how to relate to your coworkers, how, you know, you need to punch in, you need to have good attendance, all the work skills that employers out, you know, in the community are looking for. That's what our job is, you know, to work with them to hopefully, so that they gain those skills that they can one day be competitively employed.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the open house and grand opening ceremony? What is going to happen? What are we going to see going on?
Tomorrow morning, the store opens at 9, but at 10 o'clock we will have our grand opening at the store, and we will have a shuttle service available to the customers to be taken to our different locations so that they can experience what happens at the recycling centers, at our main facility, and see all the consumers working and performing the tasks that we just spoke about. And that
this is all going to be at the...
It'll start out at the
thrift store.
Is north end of Bad Axe next to Peebles.
Correct.
And
correct.
That's the place to be at 10.
That's the place to be at 10. And like I say, we'll have that shuttle service available for the customers to take them to the different locations, which will be great for the public to see what we actually do hands-on for the public. We're going to have donuts and cider there at the thrift store and at all the other locations also. We're going to have prize giveaways starting at 11 o'clock, so every hour we will have some giveaways. And I think the grand finale will be a TV at the very end, so hopefully we'll get a lot of people to come and just enjoy the day and spend it with us, experiencing what Thumb Industries does for the community, and have some cider and donuts and take a tour.
Do you have to be there when it's drawn, or do you?
No.
Is it one of those things where you can register and they'll notify you if they drew your name and away you go?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
One other thing that we're doing too is for individuals that bring in a donation for the Great Start Collaborative, school supplies, Kleenex, glue, paper, pencils.
Any type of school supply that you can think of for a smaller population of children. We have for every donation that they bring in, we will give them an extra punch on their customer appreciation card.
And you're looking, when you're talking pencils and that, you're talking in the package type of things.
Correct.
You don't want people bringing
brand
in the
new
stubs.
In the package.
No.
You
don't
want people bringing in the stubs where the eraser's all worn off and see what you can do with this.
Right.
You're looking for
new
donations
product.
Where people pick up something small. It isn't a huge expense, but it's a great advantage to families who are struggling and have kids going to school.
And that's why, we wanted to use this as an opportunity to give back to the community too. That, like you said, some of those families that might be struggling with, little kids who are, preschool age, this is just our way. If we can take in those donations and help that program out a little bit, we wanted to do that as well.
And this will continue. This isn't just a program for tomorrow. It'll continue year round. Because children, come February, March, if their box of crayons are all worn out, they'll have access to get another box of crayons. Hopefully we will be able to keep continually supplying the children throughout the year, just not at the beginning of the school year, but continually.
Well, terrific. And that's tomorrow, 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Shuttle buses to take you to the other locations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You can stop into the store, see what you have to offer today, because it's constantly evolving and changing depending on what people donate. And basically, you can donate anytime the store is open?
Correct. We open, staff are in the store at 8 o'clock in the morning, so we start accepting donations at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we close at 7 o'clock in the evening. So from 8 until 7, Monday through Friday, we are there to accept your donations, and then on Saturday from 9 until 5:30.
Are there things you can't accept? I mean, sometimes for health reasons and such, it gets frowned on by certain people in regulatory land.
Right. Mm-hmm. We do have to watch. I go on the Consumer Protection website on a regular basis and see what items have been recalled. And we monitor that, making sure that we make sure that a child's toy or a car seat, something along those lines, are not sold at the thrift store.
You also need to know that it wasn't in an accident, because car seats that were in an accident aren't really supposed to be used again.
Correct.
I mean, there's all types of things you have to watch for safety of the customers who come into the store to buy the things and for your own protection.
Correct. We even post the recalled items in the store on where the carts are kept so that customers can visually see the product themselves, and they might have it at home. Be able to spot that here at the thrift store, seeing that image right there. But staff continually look for products that may have been recalled and try and get as much as we possibly can out of the system so that it doesn't harm a child. We're very watchful of especially the children's products, the high chairs, the playpens, the toys, to make sure that no one can get hurt.
That they're age appropriate for the people that are buying it. You don't want to give a small kid teeny tiny toys they can swallow. All those things come into play that you have to kind of put them in the toddler section, you know, these are safe, these kids, and these are for older kids, because, you know, in a normal retail store, they'd all be packaged that way. You mm-hmm. can't be certain that you got the original packaging.
Correct, correct. We try to keep everything together as much as possible. When you donate something, it's nice if it's in that box, in the original. Because a lot of times we'll get someone that has thrown away the box and put it all in a Ziploc baggie. And it's hard to find, do some research to check that product out to see if it does meet the guidelines or not. So unfortunately, we may not be able to
utilize
that one.
So it would be better even in an old ratty box to know what it really is
then,
as opposed to saying, I don't want them to see how it looks. It looks awful. But
yeah,
that would be more helpful to you
correct,
in the long term.
Correct.
Even
we
if you don't display it in that box because it smells and whatever. But,
right.
But at least you know where it's at and what type of toy it is.
Correct. And then we can make that determination if it's an item that's been recalled or whether it can meet the standards and go out on the sales floor and be sold. But there's a lot of things that we check for that come in the door when it comes to especially the children's items, more so than anything else.
Do you have clothing? Can you take shoes? These types of
yes,
things? These
we
types
do.
Of things, you know, you wouldn't want mine when I'm through with them, because, you know, basically you'd be the people across the street would be running with their hands over their mouths and noses.
Well, you know, when merchandise comes in, yes, we do get some of those smelly shoes. But we know that possibly they may not sell on our sales floor, but there is another agency that we work for, World Missions, that takes that product, and they work with a whole realm of other groups and agencies that when there's a need out in the world, whether it's here in the United States or across the world somewhere, and there's a need for clothing, there's a need for your smelly shoes that someone will wear.
Well, I'd hate to think I'm exporting my foot fungus to some
well, we hope you don't have foot fungus.
You know what I mean.
And then they then in return will, you know, get that to that wherever that need might be.
So even the stuff you can't use, you can find a way to possibly recycle or send it to a plastic recycling if it's recalled and you can't sell it for what it is, at least if it's plastic, if it's one or number two, you can ship it out that way.
Correct, correct. Like I say, the clothing, if we can, if we can't use it, we're going to get that to World Missions, and they in return will get it somewhere else. If it is a lamp that you thought it worked when you donated it, but when we tested it, we couldn't get it to work. Maybe there's a metal base, or there's the cord with the metal inside. We cut the cord, we take off the base, and that goes to our metal recycling department. So everything that we possibly can, we try to keep out of our local landfills. We want
to
save as much as we can.
You have to pay for the trash collection.
Correct.
The recycling, you make money on, or at least break even on. So those are the things you want to go for.
Yeah, yeah. So we try to do whatever we can to keep our garbage low rather than fill it up.
Well, terrific. I hope you get a good turnout tomorrow. Again,
we're
it's
excited.
10 o'clock.
Very excited.
Next to the People's Store, north end of town. And big sign there, Thrift Center.
Big sign there,
And it's right behind the
Taco Bell.
And the Pennzoil place and all of that stuff. So stop on out, see what you have to offer, see what the rest of Thumb Industries has to offer. It might surprise you, and you may find that there are services and things available that might be of use to you or the place where you work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I thank you again for coming out,
thanks
for all the good work you do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're trying to help people, and you're giving them a shot at a job that, you know, normally an employer doesn't necessarily have the time to work the person through the point where they've got the job down. They want it in today's society fast. You have the time to ease them into the job and make it work for them, and I credit you for that.
Yeah, that's why we're here. We're here to not only support that consumer in that job, but the employer as well, to make sure that they're happy and the consumer knows what their responsibilities are.
Our guests today on the program have been Sue Langley, store manager, and Rhonda Weisenbaugh, the executive director of Thumb Industries. Grand opening open house tomorrow, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. at their location, North End Bad Axe. Stop on out. They have shuttle buses that'll take you around and see all the other facilities. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.